It's okay if I go ahead? I go? Okay, is it okay? Okay, thank you. Okay. All right. Okay. I thought I'd do something unusual for me. I thought I would answer the questions with a one or two word answer. Okay, and I'll take them as they come. And that is, where are you running? And the answer is no place or in place, whatever you prefer, okay? Not running anywhere, okay? Why are you running? Fear. It's all fear-based. And what happens if you trip and fall? Nothing. You reincarnate. So, okay? And let me just put it into a perspective. That there's something in the human consciousness. Am I allowed to do this? Well, I will be. Okay. If there's something in us that loves to protect itself from what it knows to be true. Okay. Now, if I gave you $1 million, you would reach out and, oh, wow, yeah. Okay. But when you're given something beyond measure, beyond value, okay, you'll go and you'll protect yourself and say, oh no, you know? And what we kind of do is we hide our nakedness, as it were, like Adam and Eve did in the garden. They were undressed, they were without clothing, okay? And they hid themselves, okay? And that has to do with, we all stand naked. See, we have a physical body, but we also have a mental body and we have a soul body. And in the soul body, we stand naked, as it were, with the spirit we are, with God. And somehow we go and we protect ourselves from that because we're ashamed or afraid. See? And there's something in us that thinks that to know God and to know God directly, okay, is taboo. You're not supposed to. See? And in a way, that part of the consciousness is correct. You're not supposed to. You see? Because what you're supposed to do is keep going round and round and round and round and round and round. Live in the Maya, live in the illusion, live in the karmic fields, and not know yourself as spirit. See? But in the garden, there was another tree. There's the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Okay? Well, good and evil is nonsensical. Okay, it means we've entered the dual worlds and we label things as good or evil, okay? And once we start getting into that, we start getting into illusion. But there was another tree there, the tree of life. And what's the tree of life, okay, but that which is eternal or the self, okay? And without getting very esoteric, just to throw it out, the tree of life many times is compared to the spine in man, and you raise the spiritual energies through the spine, etc. Okay? And yeah, it happens, but that's not the path that I teach. But the symbolism is accurate in that it is the support. Spirit is the support of who we are and backs us and supports us and enables us to be upright. You see? And we run because we're afraid. And the journey of the soul, and this is important, is from fear to loving God. And if you take a look at your life, it's basically fear-based up until now. You know, oh my gosh, I'm afraid I'm not going to have enough money. I'm not going to get the girl. I'm not going to get the job. I'm not going to get dot, 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 dot. Okay? And that is all kind of downsteppings or markings that the consciousness has of translating something that is essential for it. And that false consciousness has this guiding light, as it were, of God's not going to give me anything. I'm not going to get anything. I'm not supplied. I'm not worthy. You see? That's the big ally of the false self. I'm not worthy. Okay, you see, with every emotion, we have a thought. It couples up that way. So if you have the emotion of I'm not worthy, you have to have the thought. And what you'll have is doubt. See, so you doubt that God loves you and cares because, hey, how can you allow yourself to know that God loves you and that you're cared about when you don't feel worthy? There's a big disconnect, you see? So to keep up with the logic, however crazy that logic is, of I'm not good enough, you have the thought, well, God doesn't care. See, so I couldn't be worthy. See, that just proves it, you know? And why are we doing this? Because we're afraid of the opposite. We're afraid of the truth that God does love us and does care. See? And the journey of the soul has to do with going from fear of God into the joy of knowing yourself as spirit, knowing God, you see, and knowing God directly, you know? And a lot of you in your lives, you've sort of chucked away organized religion, et cetera, because somewhere in the dim of your own consciousness was the knowledge that, hey, wait a second, it's not about God in an institution or beliefs or dogma. It's not about middlemen, the clergy, or anything else like that. It's about that God is in us, and somehow, I don't know how, maybe perhaps, you know, it's going to happen. I don't know how, but I know it ain't out there. Somehow it's in me, you see? And I need to minister to the spirit that I am. Okay? But how can I minister to the spirit that I am if I don't think I'm worthy of spirit, you know? And how can there be spirit in me? You know, it's like we're so materialistic in this, particularly in the Western world, that we think this is it. Okay, in other words, I'm the only thing that can occupy this body. Only my physical body can occupy the body. You know, the organs, the ligaments, all this stuff. Only me can occupy this chair, one thing in one place. Okay, but that's crazy. Okay, all a spirit occupies this place, just like all a spirit is in you. And God is so big, and yet he's so small, that he can fit in each of your cells. You know? And you take a look at the couch. Now, we all have an agreement. That couch, just like it's green, it's solid. And you can sit on it. Okay, it's solid. Okay? But we know spiritually that that's not true, that that actually is a crazy thought, that that couch isn't solid, that there's a whole lot of space in there, as it were, the whole lot of atoms swirling around, swirling around, swirling around, swirling around. And for the sake of the convention called the physical world, you agree to it, I agree to it when I come in here, everybody agrees to it when we come to this planet. We're going to pretend that it's solid. Okay? And we pretend that, as it were, we're solid and only and finite. And it's like, oh, I'm just a human being. You know, I love that one. I'm just a human being. And that's the excuse for everything, you know? I can rob, cheat, steal. I'm just a human being. I'm poor, you know? So, of course, I'm going to rob because I'm poor. Well, let me ask you something. Don't you all have to worry about paying your bills and making sure there's money and somehow managing your accounts, or at least have someone manage your accounts? And why would we think we have to manage our accounts on this level, but spiritually we don't have to manage accounts? We're not responsible. There are no records. There is no accounting. And your soul is just a big dummy, and it's not going to notice anything, you know? And even when we do recognize it, then what we do, particularly a lot of so-called spiritual people, is they get all heavy with it, you know? It's like, oh my God, I've got all this karma and it weighs upon me. How am I going to balance it? Dodo, you ain't going to balance it. You'll be here forever and a day, and it won't be balanced, okay? Karma is not here to be balanced. You can't do it anyway, okay? What's it here for? Well, it's here because you're here. I mean, if you didn't have it, you wouldn't be here, okay? But we don't focus on the karma. The karma is here for your learning and for your upliftment, and it's fulfilled through knowing yourself as spirit, through loving, as it were, God, and knowing God directly. Okay? And it's through grace that this is all handled. And the false self goes, well, how can there be grace? I ain't worthy, and that God doesn't care. You see, I'll do it myself. You know? And so many of us think we're alone and isolated on this planet. And that's what it looks like from the ego. Well, a little ego here, an ego here, an ego there, an ego everywhere, an ego, you know? And supposedly New York City is the place of swollen egos, or where people go to show off their egos and develop egos, okay? But I've never seen a big ego be any bigger in spirit than another ego that wasn't that big. In other words, we're all souls, and that doesn't account for anything. But what the ego can do is it can fill us with fear and isolation and separate us from God and from ourselves. See? And everybody is so afraid of letting go and letting the spirit overcome you. And I don't mean you're going to go dancing around and, you know, doing all these leaping things, or go put poisonous snakes around you and show how, you know, spiritual you all are. No, that's stupid, you know. But being spiritual does mean what? Allowing. See, this is crucial. Allowing God's grace to operate, allowing yourself to receive the spirit that you are, allowing yourself to put away the negativity for only a moment and be present, and then see what happens in that moment. See? But we're very afraid. We walk around afraid, and we run away from the essential truth. Okay? But where are you going to go? There's nowhere to go in this system called human life that involves this planet. There's nowhere to go. You can't leave. Oh, he died, he's with Jesus, thank you. Well, first of all, Jesus is long gone. He's dead. Sorry. Okay, bye-bye, Jesus. Thank you for coming, okay? But the energy that he held, the Christ, that's with us. And it does live in the inner worlds on the different levels. Okay? But if you haven't been with the Christ inside yourself when you were in the body, well, you're not going to be able to tolerate very much. You know, so you don't get to heaven because you die. In other words, you don't get any points. Okay? And the truth of that is look at you. None of you got a single point for dying. You've done it lots of times, and you're still here. You know? You're still here. You've reincarnated and reincarnated and reincarnated. You're still here. You know? You didn't get to stay with God. Okay? And the truth is that God is within us, and it's our responsibility to come to know ourselves as spirit, as soul. There is a way home. There is a way to come to know yourself as that, and it's through initiation into the sound current, into the Holy Spirit, into what Jesus the Christ called the Word. Okay? And that's been here forever, and that's how the soul walks the path in the inner worlds, comes to know itself as soul, and completes its karmic journeys here. So there is a way. But what do? We go running, 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 and we think we're going to get out of the system. You can't get out of the system, folks. Nothing you do will get you out of the system except the prescribed way. Wide is the way, but narrow is the gate that leads unto eternal life. And no one comes to the Father except through me. Okay, now he's not talking as Jesus Christ Christian, because guess what? There was no such thing as Christian. There was no churchianity then. That's not his invention. He didn't come to find a church or a religion. Okay? But what he did come to do was to lay down an energy field, a force field, that souls could follow, and he was the bridge into the inner worlds, through all the inner worlds, to what's called eternal life, when the soul comes to know itself as soul and is no longer subject to karma and reincarnation, you see? And this part in us then, we go running away, because what are we going to do? You know, we're not going to reincarnate, we're not going to have this life, we're not going to, you know? Hey, you can have it for eternity minus a day. You know, don't worry about it. Because we don't teach hating this planet. See, that's another attachment, and that's more karma. Not a good idea, okay? But rather be neutral. Yeah, it's nice to be here. And, you know, it's okay if you are, it's okay if you're not. And that might sound a little odd and a little crazy. I'm not suggesting you all go off and kill yourself immediately. Quite the contrary, okay? But when you come to know yourself as spirit and as soul, you know that you're with God regardless of where this thing called the body is. See? And we want to refute this. We want to keep running away from this truth, from this knowledge of ourself. And we have this fear that we're going to be overcome, that spirit. You see, the ego sets it up as either life or death, you know? And interestingly enough, it's the very opposite in reality, that this thing called life is called death, or as I walk in the valley of the shadow of death. This is the shadow of death. Okay, and we come into death so that we could be born into the spirit we are. Okay, and there's a way for that. And because of our fear, we equate opening up to spirit and lifting and growing as death. Okay, and I'll be the first to tell you that it is death. Okay. But that's only half the sentence. It is death to the ego or the false self. And the false self for the ego just wants to protect itself and keep itself going and run the show. It doesn't want to give up its kingdom, you see? And so we just go running, 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 running away from ourselves. And no matter where we turn, we see ourselves, lifetime after lifetime after lifetime after lifetime, you know? And the way the human consciousness is set up, it's like we live in a hall of mirrors. And because we live under karma, we can't tell that what's in the mirror isn't real. We think it's real, okay? So we have thoughts. Let's just say, God doesn't love me, okay? And I have proof of that, okay? I didn't make the Knicks team, okay? And on top of it, Edward beat me in a game of basketball, all right? So, that's proof. That's my thought, okay? God doesn't love me, okay? And the way the consciousness goes is on that level where the mind lives, the mental plane, okay? It's created that, okay? And then there's a mirror that engulfs the lower consciousness and kind of curves back upon itself. And when you go and you look in the mirror, now you're not going to say to go, oh, let me look in the mirror, let me look in the mirror. No, but you'll get your thoughts reflected back to you. And there will be this thought reflected back to you, oh, God doesn't love me. And A, because you're under karma, you've forgotten that you've created that thought. B is, you can't tell it's a mirror. So this thought looks real. Oh, yes, it's objectively so. God doesn't love me. Okay? Oh, okay. And then that becomes a guiding principle in your life. That's objectively so. And we're kind of living in a paper bag, and we can't punch our way out of a paper bag. And these are thoughts, these are feelings, and each one that we create separates us from the spirit we are, but also, guess what it does? We're responsible for this, and for the soul to know itself as spirit, as soul, well, since that's kind of blocking the way, that has to be uncreated, okay? But the good news is if you're powerful enough to create this, then you're powerful enough to have it be uncreated, okay? And now notice I said to have it be uncreated. I didn't say you have to go in there and uncreate it, okay? But you have to allow it, see? And the path that I teach, the path of soul transcendence, it's really a surrender path. And what are we surrendering? But our agenda, our egos, etc. And we allow the spirit, we allow God's grace to operate. And through the grace, through the initiatory process, what happens is all those creations, they're handled and they get to be undone. And the separation you've created between yourself and the spirit you are is taken from you, okay? But the resolve always has to be on what? Uniting with the spirit you are, coming to know yourself as spirit. See, and that's the Christed consciousness. A consciousness that is Christed means its will and God's will is one and the same. What's God's will for us? Well, that you be happy, healthy, and whole, and that you come to know yourself as spirit and come to love and know God directly. That's his will. It was put into motion a long time ago. And when you're in alignment with that, then guess what? You don't suffer the crucifixion. And what's the crucifixion but time and space? And when a being is caught in time and space, it's operating from the ego. Because that's how the ego comes to know itself. I'm this isolated person. I'm sitting right here. I'm located in time and space. Well, that's all there is? You mean that's it? You know? You mean if my body lives in Brooklyn, or if my body lives in New Jersey, or Wisconsin, or the Canary Islands, or South America, or Mexico, or wherever it is, you mean that's where I really am? No. I mean, sometimes, to be honest, I prayed that that were true, because there were times I was on vacation when, let me only be here, you know? No one can get at me. But it didn't work that way, okay? Because through the oneness of the Holy Spirit, or through the sound current, we're all one, see? We're all one. So yeah, to the ego, this person's sitting here, this person's sitting there, this person lives in Mexico, this person lives in the Canaries, this person lives in South America, this person lives in Brooklyn, wherever, in Tennessee. And that's what the ego thinks. Okay. And we love to maintain that fiction because it keeps us what we think is, it keeps us in charge. Okay. But in reality, it keeps us enslaved. You know? And, you know, there's the story, I guess Passover is coming up pretty soon. And what's the story, you know? Well, you're slaves unto the Pharaoh. Okay, and then you get free and you go to the desert and through the desert. And then you receive the Ten Commandments and you go enter the Promised Land. Okay, and as true human beings, you know, who's forgotten what it means to be human, we honestly believe that stuff. That it's just that, that it has to do with Egypt and going through a desert and receiving this, these tablets, and you just go into this country and that's it, you know? Well, it's not that at all, okay? But what it is it's a metaphor that the soul goes through. Egypt land is always represented as karma, the land of karma, of bondage, slaves. We've enslaved ourselves. And how have we enslaved ourselves? Real easy. We made that thought. We think it's real. We've forgotten we're the creator of it. And we've separated ourselves from spirit. And that's how we've made our own bondage, how we've become slaves. Okay? And the soul has to be freed, and it's freed to what? Wander through the desert. In other words, these lives, physical embodiments, where it receives the word of God. But the word of God isn't, you know, the Bible written down or anything. The word is what the Christ called the word. I'm the word made manifest, or the sound current, or the Holy Spirit. And then it goes into the promised land. And what's been promised to each soul is eternal life or the heavens. And we know that where the heavens are. The spiritual heavens are inside of us. Okay? And they're located, as it were, in the inner worlds of spirit inside ourselves at a certain vibratory frequency, at a certain level, that the soul can progress through. And eventually, it will progress through in some embodiment. You know? But the main teachings that I bring forward really have to do with that we are self-contained. In other words, the self, the spirit, the soul is within us. And that we are responsible to come to know that. We are responsible. And no matter where you run to, you're not going to get away from that, for the simple truth that God lives in you as you, or the spirit in you, can't be fooled, won't be mocked. It just won't be mocked. And eventually, it's going to fulfill itself. Okay? And why do we keep running? Because we're so afraid. The ego, the false self, is so afraid that somehow we're going to give up something. Well, you are going to give up something. You're going to give up your negativity, your hurt, your pain, your separation. Even death itself goes. That gets to be the grand illusion. That's one of the ego's great creations, death. Okay? And we keep running and running and running out of this fear. We're not going to get away. Eventually, since all souls go home to God, you're going to have to do it, okay? And what happens, though, if I don't do it and I keep going and going and going and going and going and running away from my truth, and I keep tripping and falling? So, nothing happens. You just reincarnate. You reincarnate. God's patient. He loves us. He cares about his children, you know? He wants us home with him, okay? But he's patient. He's very patient. See, and we also need to be patient with ourselves, but not in the way we think we do. In other words, oh, I'll do it tomorrow. It's okay. This spiritual perspective stuff, or, focus stuff, I'll just, when I get around to it. One of my favorites is, I'm not perfect. I can't do it now, you know? Well, if you were perfect, guess what? You wouldn't be in the body, you know? But you're perfect in spirit. The soul in you is perfect. Start where you are. Jesus the Christ was born amongst the what, you know? Think of it. Not even in a good birthing unit in a hospital, you know? Start where you are, okay? You're not exempt. You're not going to get out of it, and there's nowhere to run to, you see? And our karmic patterns, so what if we have them? We're still loved. We're still cared about, see? And God, in his infinite mercy and in his infinite kindness, he established a way above and behind that mirror in our consciousness that links up to him. And by our consciousness focusing on that, or at least choosing to ignore what's in the mirror, we're able to lift and grow and grow and come to know ourselves as spirit. See? And so many of you also are afraid to start your spiritual work, or even when you've started, you get into, oh my God, what happens if I make a mistake and screw up? Well, the path that I'm involved with, it's unconditional loving. So you're stupid. So you're fat. So you're dumb. So you're ugly. I didn't know any of those things mattered in the kingdom of heaven. Okay? And oh my God, but you know, when I sit and I try to do it, the spiritual work, as I've been told, this and this happens, this and this happens. So? And it should be this, and it should. Oh, it should, huh? And 100% of the time, whenever I ask people who are being hard on themselves about their spiritual work, oh, well, how do you think it should be? And they'll tell me something with such conviction, and it's such gibberish. I've never heard anyone who's judged him or herself be right. You know? But what I have seen is the love that is here for us and the love that we are. And we're not these isolated units living in this world divorced from anything. We're not cut off from the kingdom. We're not disconnected from God. See, and that's why, you know, we almost invariably say, God looks up. Like he's up there. Oh, yeah? Well, no, he's down here in you, dodo head. You know? And as long as you keep looking up, guess what? You're playing the game. You're running away from the truth of what you know. That God is inside of you and lives in you as you. And that we're responsible, okay? So there ain't nowhere to run. If you're running, tell yourself to stop. Be present, even for a moment. See what happens. Hang out inside yourself with the spirit you are. And if you fall and trip, well, guess what? God will send his angels to nourish you and make that okay. You know, I've seen some amazing things in my own life. You know, I've seen somebody walk across the street, get hit by a car. Nothing happened to that person because God's angels attended that being immediately. I've seen a great tall guy dropping an infant from his shoulders. He was carrying his kid on his shoulders. Just dropped him. Kid hit his head, smack. Head first, into the pavement. Nothing happened. Zero. Okay, why? Because the angels were ministering. They were ministering. Okay? So I know the love is there, even exterior-wise. See? But let's not play the game and think, oh, the angels are up there and we're here. Okay? But mankind has dominion over all things. In other words, we're in charge of all of being, of all of spirit. And the angels are at our command. Who is the commander of the angels? Well, who was the leader of the army of angels? It was the Christ, Jesus. Okay? And every Christ that so commands that. Command all of heaven. So in other words, all of heaven exists for you. Okay? And that's how loved and cared about you are and how much of service God is to you. See, we have it backwards. That God's not here for us. Okay? But in truth, we're not there for God. And all we have to do is open our consciousness to that and start the journey, start it, and keep progressing and keep progressing, keep allowing. Even if you don't know what's going to happen, even if you don't have any idea, okay? Even if you know your mother didn't believe in God or your father didn't believe in God, you know, or you don't like the Catholic Church or the Jewish Church or the Buddhist temple or whatever the hell you're involved with, okay? Nothing to do with anything, okay? But it's your responsibility. You're not going to get out of the system, see? And if the focus is on getting out of the system, that's just another attachment, just another way the system has you, okay? So I want to give you a little bit of homework. Okay, I want you just for the next month, okay, is once a day, just ask if the predominant thoughts and feelings you're having are real. Are they really real, or did I create them? Not I, me, but you yourself. Did you create them? Okay? And it's not that thoughts and feelings are wrong, because they're not, okay? But they're creations, though, that separate us from the spirit we are. You know, it's like the Heisenberg principle. You look into a microscope, whatever you're seeing is distorted by the observer. The observer distorts the experiment, okay? We can't know the spirit we are if it's filtered through our senses, because there's a built-in distortion. Okay? But we can know spirit, know who we are directly, and there's a way, and that way bypasses the material world, the world of the five senses. Okay? And God in his kindness and his mercy, he's provided that way. Okay? So I want you all to do the homework, and that'll give you a good start. All right? And some of your minds are already at work. Well, what happens if I don't see anything in the mirror? What happens if I've cleaned it all up? You know, what happens if it's a blank mirror? Okay? What are you doing focusing into a blank mirror other than looking at your gorgeous self? Okay? But that gorgeous self you're seeing in the mirror, guess what? It's a mirage. It's a mirror. How real is it? You know, what's going to last? 80 years, 100 years? And if you go to the right gym and you go to the right whatever, 127 years? Well, I don't think so, okay? Although it's interesting, they did do a study. They isolated a homogeneous group of Eastern European Jewish people who are 100 or more, just to see what was it that gave them, what was the gene? And they thought they had the gene, you know? And then one of the guys said, well, gee, let's pick the ones who are really, really the healthiest of all of them. No eyeglasses, no hearing aid. And I think there was a third criteria, okay? So they isolated, there was a sample of about 300, and they isolated about 40 of these guys, over 100 years old, no glasses, no hearing aid, nothing. And they asked them point blank, you know, what about their diets? Well, you don't want to know, okay? Then they ask them point blank, do you exercise? Well, there wasn't one of them who answered yes, okay? All right. So, and yet there's something, I'm not saying big couch potatoes don't exercise, okay? But there's something in the human consciousness that we confuse living forever or a long time with physicality. It's in the physical. It's this. And so we take our emotions as real. We take our thoughts as real. We take our worries as real. You know? And the things we've created in our imagination seem the most real. Oh my God, I'm so scared this is going to happen. I'm so scared this is terrible. This is going to happen. And it seems so real. And that's because of where that particular plane of imagination sits in the consciousness. It sits the closest to the physical, so it seems the most real. You know, I remember a couple of years ago, there were a gang of kids who they smashed some windows at of the sacred temple of retailing, Bloomingdale's. Okay. And I was passing a bank. I had to go to a bank, and it was about a mile away. And they closed early. And there was a sign saying why they had closed early. Because they were afraid that this horde of kids was going to smash the windows in the bank and do whatever they do. And you could feel the fear. And walking on the street, I could feel it from people. And it was on all the news, on television and radio. And it was spreading. You know, like somehow these savages were going to ransack the city, you know. And of course, nothing else happened. But it seems so real. It seems so palpable. And when we create our fears and our imaginations, they seem so real because they sit so close to the physical. Okay? So do that homework. There's nowhere to run. There's nowhere to hide. Okay? Sounds like a Martha and the Vandellas song, huh? And, you know, God, the spirit in you won't be mocked. God sees you. He knows who you are. He knows where you are because he knows where he lives. And that's in you. Okay? So the answer is loving surrender to the inevitable, you know, and just the love of God, because that's where the joy is. The joy is inside, in the soul that you are, in the spirit that you are, you know. And I'll just stop by sharing a little story. Some of you may not have written a money workbook, which helps people break away from attachments to money. And patterns and habits, etc. Okay, which when you break away from patterns, etc., it can also enable more to come to you if that's what you want. And it's a book for people to help people be able to make certain decisions, like, hey, I really want to do this in my life, but I've had this thing for money, and it frees you up. You can use it to be free. Okay, well, I can give up having to feel like in this world I have to have a lot of money to have status, power, and control. Well, hey, it's okay. My parents, you know, they were factory workers, and it's okay for me to have much more than they, and it's okay for me to surpass them. Okay? And I don't have to hold myself back, and I don't have to suffer, and I don't have to struggle. I can give all that up. Okay? Anyway, that's some examples of the book. And we sent out this book, and I think my favorite response, one of two favorite responses, and this response was, well, thank you for sending us, blah 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 blah, and You know, it most likely is a wonderful, wonderful workbook, but it's not practical. Okay? And what this person was saying is what we all say to some extent. We say there's nothing inside of us, working things from inside out. You know, there's nothing inside. What are you going to... That's totally impractical. And let's all try to manipulate the world and, you know, do X, Y, and Z. And if I wrote a book saying, well, invest in this stock, and do this, do that, do this, and your money will increase. Oh, yeah, real practical, okay? But we need to understand something, that it's inside of us, and that spirit's inside of us. And doing this work is practical. And it's practical because what do we live with inside ourselves but our emotions, our thoughts, our imagination, and our bondage? And isn't it nice to be free? See? And I'll just simply end by saying God created us free. And we're afraid of that simple fact. And so we've enslaved ourselves. Okay, and I'm here to tell you that there's a way to allow yourself to remember that you are free and to live accordingly. And God's mercy makes that known to us, that He's given us a way to be free and to start to remember that we are spirit. Okay, and in His mercy and kindness also, He set it up so there ain't nowhere to run and there ain't nowhere to hide. And it's that simple. Okay, we'll stop with that. I'll take questions in a few minutes, but give me a few minutes to...